Today's Amud, this evening's Amud, is Yuma Dav Yud Aleph Amud Aleph. We just had some leftover discussion from last week's Shir, where we talked about the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether a sukkah requires a mezuzah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a sukkah needs a mezuzah because it's a diras keva. He holds it has to be a permanent structure. The Chachamim hold a sukkah does not need a mezuzah. Obviously, we pass like the Chachamim. As we know, we don't put mezuzahs on our sukkahs. We discuss what happens if you have a permanent room, which you then transform into a sukkah. What happens with the mezuzah over there? Do you have to take it down after sukkahs and put it back up? And then the Gemara ended off that the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the meaning, according to the Chachamim, the mezuzah that's required on the Lishkas Parhedrin, on this chamber, the room in the Beis HaMikdash that the Kohen Gadol had to live for 7 days. Why, according to the Chachamim, do you need a mezuzah? That's a din d'oraisa. That needed, that's like a regular house, and we explain why that's considered his house, but that's a din d'oraisa according to the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says it can't be. Why? Because it's not meant to be used in the Maisa Gashami, Maisa Chama. You don't use it all year round. And therefore, it's not considered a dira, it's not considered a place of living. And thus, Rabbi Yehuda says it does not require a mezuzah midai raisa. However, midai rabbanon, he says, they said to put on a mezuzah. Why? In order, the Gemara concluded on Yunam and Beis, umid rabbanu that tekinu la shala yaimru kain godol chavush beveis ho asurin. People shouldn't go around saying, like, look, we saw my cousin was a kain who went into the Beis HaMikdash and he saw this room the kain godol lives in for 7 days. There's no mezuzah on the door. No mezuzah? Why not? It's like a prison. He has to be locked in there. He has to be subjected to be there for 7 days straight. And a prison doesn't require a mezuzah. So certainly it's true that the Gemara is clear that according to Rabbi Yehuda, a prison does not need a mezuzah.
Why not? They stay there.
They sleep there. They eat there. Why not? So maybe you could say, like Rabbi Yehuda that says, Adira bal korcha lo shema dira. Very good. But the problem is, we pass like the Chachamim. So if that's the only reason, the Chachamim actually say, Adira bal korcha shmei dira. Even if you're forced to be in a certain place, it's still called the dira. So it would seem that maybe according to the Chachamim, maybe you would say it does have to have a mezuzah. The question is, of course, so what happens if you have a frum Jew who is sentenced, rightfully or not rightfully, is sentenced to prison, right? For many years. We're not talking about 7 days. It could be for decades. Does it require a mezuzah on his prison cell? Another shaila that was asked, and that's where a lot of the discussion comes from, the shaila sechuvas mi ma'amakim. This was written by Hagoyin Reb Ephraim Oshri. The tshuvas were actually asked, almost all of them, and answered in the ghetto in Kovna between the years 1941-1944. What he did was, he wrote many of the answers. He obviously didn't write all the tshuvas then, but on scraps of paper, he wrote basically the general question and answer that he gave, and he buried it under the ground in the ghetto. After the war, he went back, retrieved those papers, and he wrote approximately 5 volumes. Wow. Of
during the Holocaust.
During the Holocaust. Wow. Approximately, and I'm talking about many of them hair-raising questions. Okay, you're talking about just did a tshuva this week with somebody, women who were violated by Nazi officers. Obviously against their will. There was a particular woman, she actually had a stamp on her arm that said reserved for Hitler's army, tattooed onto her. And after the war, she and her husband found each other. Was she permitted to go back to the husband? How does the husband know that it wasn't done with any consent on her part? Very, very difficult shilas. Questions about burying dead, a lot of different shaylas. There's one shayla that is here in Chelek Aleph, Simon Yud Gimel, that was asked to him, is that the people in the ghetto, somebody's house, the mezuzah fell off, either was lost or became pusel, as we'll see the Gemara is going to talk in the next couple of Baal about mezuzah. And they wanted to know, there's no way to obtain another mezuzah, to get it through, smuggle into the ghetto. Are they mechuyev to put it up? Would they be mechuyev? Maybe they have to find someone all around, do they have an extra mezuzah? Is it obligated to put a mezuzah? So he questions that maybe living in the ghetto during this time is like still living in a prison.
It's prison, actually.
And maybe you don't need... So he does quote, is actually, he's not the first one to talk about a prison, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah in Hilchus Mezuzah talks about it, and he quotes a Sefer Beis Hillel that says that a prison would not be obligated to put up a mezuzah. What's the reason? The Beis Hillel reasons like this. The Rambam in Perek Vav Hilchus Mezuzah lists 10 criteria, like we said last week, we mentioned this. 10 criteria that you need in order for to be obligated in mezuzah. Listen like this. Asara tanoim. There are 10 conditions. Yesh bebayis, that you have to have in a house. V'achar kach yischayev adorboi lasois mloi mezuzah. V'im chosar tanai echon mehen, potem mezuzah. You're missing one of these conditions. Potter. Ve'eluhen. Shiyeh by arba amos al arba amos. Okay, 4x4 amos. Oh, yes, sir. Ve'shtiyeh te'eshtei mezuzahs. You have to have two posts. Ve'shiyeh le'mashkev. It has to have a top bar, a lintel. That's number
two.
Ve'tiyeh le'tikra. You have to have a roof. Obviously, you don't not required. You just have a doorway with no roof over the... You're not required in a mezuzah. The doorway has to be at least 10 tefachim high, or yoiser. We'll see. It has to be choil as opposed to kodesh. A beis hamidosh, beis haknesset, beis hamedrash, not obligated in mezuzah. It has to be a beis choil. V'yeh osur l'diras odom. It has to be made for a person to live in. V'osur l'diras kovoid. It has to be made as a cover, a room of covered, a respectful place. Says the Beis Hillel that a Beis HaAsurim is not. For that reason, the Rambam writes later in Halachates, a Beis HaKiseh, Beis HaMerchatz, a bathhouse, a bathroom, not required in a mezuzah. So says the Beis Hillel, same would be with a prison, it's not a dirish or covered. The Birkei Yosef takes issue with this, and he says, first of all, it's just its whole intent is to do things that are not covered, and it also has a foul smell. That's not obligated in mezuzah. But a prison cell, it may not be the most loveliest accommodations, but to say that it's not a dira shel kavod, it is in the same status and category as a bathroom, he would disagree with that notion. So the Birkei Yosef says, if that was the only reason to say it's exempt, I would say you're obligated. The Birkei Yosef comes with another argument though.
Huh? There's prisons like, you know, some of our executive prisons here, and then prisons like dungeons with damp and mold.
Yeah, okay, good. You're right. If they were talking about that, then I think you're right. There's argument to say that, and maybe that's the difference that he was talking about one type of prison, he was talking about another type of prison.
Prisoner, actually, it's not belong to the person, it's belong to the government or the state.
That's true, but he's living there for more than 30 days.
Yeah. It's in his house.
You go to the hotel, you don't put a mezuzah.
You're
staying
for 1 month.
For 1 month.
Exactly, because you are not owner, that's one. So the same thing like prison. You are not owner the place, you are just there.
What do you mean you're not owner? If you rent the house, you're also not the owner, right?
Right. You live there, you pay for that, so you have like some ownership. So you have some ownership.
One of those formal suites or something, you're there for a year,
you're there for a long-term stay.
If you what? If you're saying if you rent a hotel room for a long term, do you need a mezuzah?
But not to go by not owner, because when you rent, you're also not the owner. So
that's right. That's right.
But you're not making a dwelling place. That's the condition. You're not making.
You're not. Well, if you rent a suite and you're living there, sleeping there for.
It's temporary. It's not the
temporary.
Assume enough to make you a dwelling.
So let's read one more condition of the Rambam.
Missing some track.
Va'asur l'diras kavod, and the final condition, va'asur l'diras keva. And as this structure, this house, this place of living, this room, has to be a permanent living quarter. That's why the Rambam excludes, we'll see in the Gemara, like that, a sukkah, it's not permanent, a house on or room in a boat. You can be traveling for 2 months on the boat and you've booked the cruise for 2 months straight. But it's not, it's the nature of it is only to be temporary. And that could be the argument for the hotel room. Even though right now I have to be there for
2 months.
For 2 months, but it could be the whole nature of a hotel is only to be there on a temporary basis and therefore would not be required. That may be one reason. There may be other reasons why when you rent a hotel room is also exempt from mezuzah because of the owner is a non-Jew. So that may make the whole difference also, as we'll see.
But they
notice
actually in the hotel they have mezuzah.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But for the Svara, I can hear that Svara too. Okay. So maybe it's not a Dirishal Kavod, but again, it could be a prison cell today, that's nice accommodations. It'll be hard pressed to say that that's not considered a Dirishal Kavod.
So according to the Rambam, why should be on the Beit HaMikdash where there is a Kohen stay for 1 week? It's not the Keva, it's only temporary for 1 week. Why did Mezuzah then? The Rambam brought 10.
Right.
The last condition has to be permanent.
Right. Also, the Yiras Keva,
so,
yeah.
The Kohen Gadol stay only 1 week in this chamber in Beit HaMikdash. And second, also, Beit HaMikdash is the holy place like synagogue, like Beit HaMikdash.
So that's the question that we asked before. We said, but most places in the Beit HaMikdash is not obligated because it's only for Kodesh.
Yeah.
But this also has Chol to it. Why? Because the Kohen Gadol lives there. He eats there, he sleeps there, only 1 week.
Even that's mid mezuzah.
But that's the chiddush over here. That's the Gemara before. Kol alishka ishaya b'midrash loyel mezuzah chutz milishkas barhedrin. That was a base dira l'kohen gadol. Base dira l'kohen gadol. Yeah.
By the way, where is the
Kohanim
sleeping in
Beit HaMikdash? That's the Gemara said before also. That's just, they just take a sort of like a nap over there just for the night time. It's not considered a full house.
They sleep in Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah, in different rooms.
Different rooms?
Yeah, the Shem Rabbis. Yeah. So one argument you could say based on and Diras Arai, and this is what the Birkei Yosef wants to say, and the Shailos HaTshuvos Mimamakom also says maybe you could base it on this, that the being in a prison cell is also a Diras Arai. The person hopes that he's going to get out of there very quickly. He hopes he's not going to have to stay there permanently. Even if his sentence was a lifetime sentence, but he hopes the people will advocate for him, the lawyers will try to get him out, and for that reason he hopes that he won't be living there on any permanent basis, and maybe for that reason you should not be obligated in a prison. In the end, what Rav Ashri paskind, which is a big chiddush, I believe it's a big chiddush to say this, he wanted to say that in the ghetto, since the conditions were not so great and people did not know whether they would be able to live another day, another week, so he says that therefore becomes the living over there is only temporary, and therefore you are not to be obligated to put up a mezuzah. That's what he writes. There is a tshuva in the Har Tzvi. He was asked that there was a ben yeshiva, ben Teira went to, I guess, to be like a rabbi in some village. Not clear exactly what it was, but it was in Kenya. And there were these prisoners who were confined to a particular village, And they had to live over there. And the question that he came with, that he sent to the Hartzvi, Rabbi Pesach Frank, do these people need a mezuzah on their doors? Because they're really confined to beer. It's almost like a prison-like situation. And the Hartzvi says, well, a prison means you're confined to one room. But here, even though you're confined to a certain location, a certain village, but in the village you can really live wherever you want. So for that he says that you would have to be required to put up a mezuzah. Ketzas raya, he says, a shtickel raya to this is that the Rambam paskins that the Kohen Gadol must live in Yerushalayim. Not allowed to leave Yerushalayim. Now, within Yerushalayim he can live wherever he wants. Obviously, the Kohen Gadol's house in Yerushalayim had a mezuzah on it, right? Mm-hmm. We don't find anywhere spot from a mezuzah. And yet, even though he sort of has to live in one certain location, still obligated in a mezuzah. Why? Because he has the choice of where he's allowed to be. For those who remember we asked, what's the difference of sukkah or the Lishkas Parhedrin? Lishkas Parhedrin we call, that's a dira bal karchoi. You must live there. Sukkah also, we must live for 7 days. So we had different answers that were given. So the Sfasemis answered, you could choose where you want your sukkah to be. And that's why that's not a bal karchoi, and that's considered a mechuyev mezuzah. Same svar the Hartzvi is saying by this situation as well. And that's why they would be obligated, which is, would seem like, according to the Hartzvi, it would seem like that the case in the ghetto also, in the of in the ghetto, they really would be obligated to have a mezuzah. Let's begin the Gemara now. We begin the last line on Yud Amid Beis. Man Tana Lo Adetan Rabbanan, who is the author of the following braisa that we learned? Lo Adetan Rabbanan Kol Asharim Shahayu Sham. All of the gates that were in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Azora, namely, they were no mezuzahs on the Beis HaMikdash, and all the entranceways to the Beis HaMikdash did not have a mezuzah. They did not require a mezuzah. Chutz mishar nikener, except for shar nikener, those famous gates that traveled with this person to the Beis HaMikdash, and he donated it there. We'll see in the Gemara later. Shelefnim imenu lishkes paredrin. Why does the gates of the Shaar Nikener, why do they require a mezuzah? Because right after them, after you enter the Shaar Nikener in the east, that's where the Lishkas Parhedrin is. So just like you have like an entryway to your house, you need a mezuzah, even though that's not a place to live, right? Nobody eats or sleeps in the entryway, in the hallway, in the, what do you call it? The foyer, thank you, of your house, but it's obligated since it leads up to the house, which is the dwelling place. So too, Shaar Nikener, because Milfnim Mimenu, inside of it was Lishkas Parhedrin. Who could that be? Layman has to be Rabbanon, Evil Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Because the Rabbi Yehuda, again, are you required to put a mezuzah on Lishkas Parhedrin? According to the Chachamim, yes, Midiraisa. According to the Rabbi Yehuda, only Midirabbanon. So if you say it's Rabbi Yehuda requires a mezuzah additionally on the Shaar Nikener, he gufa gezeira. The fact that you have to put on a Lishkas Parhedrin in itself is a gezeira. People shouldn't say he's living in a prison. So he gufa gezeira v'ana nekum. We're going to get up v'nigzer gezeira l'gezeira. We would never do such a thing, as the Gemara says many times in Chas. The Chacham didn't impose one gezeira on another gezeira. Says the Gemara, no, I could argue and say, afilu teimer Rabbi Yehuda, kulo chad gzeirahi. In other words, when they instituted this idea that the Kohen Gadol's living quarters for those 7 days needs a mezuzah, lest people say that he's living in a prison. If people pass by and say, hey, you know, I see this gate which goes right into the area of the Lishkas Parhedrin, doesn't have mezuzah, people will say that also, and therefore they said, put up a mezuzah both on the Lishka itself and on the Shaar Nikener. Okay, let's start the new Gemara here. Tana Rabbanon, we learned in the Braisa, it says Bishorecha. M'chsavtom al mezuzos beisecha uvishorecha. On your houses, the doorposts of your houses, uvishorecha, and your gates. Says the Braisa, Echot Shaarei Batim, whether they're the gates going into your houses, v'echad sha'arei chatzeres, the gates going into your courtyards, v'echad sha'arei medinos, v'echad sha'arei ayoros. Now, usually Medina we translate as a whole country with many cities in it. And Yarais are cities within the Medina. The problem with that be that it would be a little bit out of order. Rashi has an interesting explanation for Medina is here. The top Rashi, Echachar Medina, is Yesh Medina Mukafais Harim. It really means there's a whole area which is surrounded by mountains and forests. Bekama Parsois can be many miles long. But then Yetzim Imeno, the only way to get in and out of this particular location, Eladerach Sha'orim. Kigayin Eretz Hagar, Rashi quotes this particular place. So Rashi says Medina here doesn't mean like we know as the country which has many cities in it, but it's a certain area surrounded by forests and mountains that you can only get in and out through this gate. That gate too is obligated in a mezuzah.
So the gate doesn't have the top portion.
No, it has to have, no, for sure. It has to have the requirements of...
But it doesn't have roof.
Okay.
It doesn't have roof.
According to you, you mean the condition from the Rambam that we saw?
It doesn't have it's open space.
A roof. I hear that's a good question.
And you can move within that area also back and forth in different places, so that would require.
That's for sure is required, just like a chotzer. Chotzer is the opening of a courtyard that goes to many places. We have to see that condition of the Rambam. A courtyard also doesn't have a roof.
What was the translation of Eretz Hagar?
Yeah, it means that was a place.
What was it?
I don't know. And Rashi knew of a certain place that just had was surrounded by trees and mountains. Yeah.
So actually, today you don't put it. This was on the gate coming to the city.
Really?
How many
cities do you know that have gates?
No city.
Huh?
Because there is no.
There is one. You should be familiar with it. The old city, the Eretika. That's a city that is surrounded by walls and it has gates going in. Do they have mezuzahs on it?
I never put attention.
So if
but that's the Arab.
So if you, it's impossible to check those mezuzahs because the way they make a lot of mezuzahs in Eretz Yisrael is they basically cement it into the wall. You would have to chop away from the stone to get in. They do put up mezuzahs on the cities going in and the gates going into the old city. But the real question is, are they obligated to do so? And we'll see if in this Gemara later, is he not so simply obligated to do so. So what did the Rambam say here?
One of the gates you go into a roofed area.
Maybe v'tia lo tikra, and we'll have to see. We'll have to check this up. And I'm not sure of the this requirement of the Rambam. Okay.
But then you're saying, according to Rambam, there's no obligation to put mezuzahs in Beit HaKnesset. The way we do it is just
optionally, mean. So the truth is, what the Rambam here is talking about, you know, the Rambam's opinion also, if you notice, is it has to have a door. There are many doorways in our houses that don't have doors.
Just has the door frame, right? Living room and
correct. According to the Rambam, that is not obligated midoraisa. These requirements, these conditions, are all from a midoraisa standpoint, from a Torah standpoint of what you're obligated. Could be the Rambam agrees that you're still obligated midorabbanan. Yeah. But the Gemara here certainly seems to say on the deraisa level. Ech sharei batim, sharei chetzeres, sharei medina, sharei yareis, yesh ben chevas mezuzah lamokoim. Very interesting wording. There's an obligation to the mitzvah mezuzah lamokoim to Hashem. Mishum shenem roch saftom ha-mezuzahs b'sach v'sharecha. Some explain, the reason why it says it this way is because we know what does a mezuzah do for a house, for a person?
Protection.
So the Gemara wants to say, the chiv of putting mezuzah, not just you should be protected. It's in order to fulfill the mitzvah lamokim to Hashem. Omale Abaye l'Rav Safra. Abaye es Rav Safra. Hani avuli de mechuzah. These gates to the city called Mechuzah. Mechuzah was a city. It's actually the city that Rava lived in for a time. So the gates of the city called Mechuza, my time alay abduhul rabbanon mezuzah. Why did the rabbis of that city not put a mezuzah? I see there's no mezuzah on the gate going into Mechuza. And why not? Now, it's a very interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, the third line down from the top of Ulam Mechuza, Shara Yir Sheshma Mechuza, Vayurubon Yisrael. That means most of the inhabitants of Mechuza were Jews.
So if you don't have a majority of Jews, you don't have obligation.
Aha. So the Rishash says, one second, we know there's a Machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether a bias shel shutfin, and this is very relevant to our days where we have so much interaction with non-Jews in the workplace for sure, or office buildings, or apartment buildings. There's a house, there's a dira, that is shared, b'shutvis, shared both by Jews and non-Jews. Do you require a mezuzah or not? Go ahead, take a guess. You can't be wrong.
No.
No.
Says the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Pei Vav Hilchos Mezuzah, Sif Aleph. Like we just learned, Echad Shari Batim, Shari Chatzeres, Medina, Sayarais. He puts in what we can learn in a few lines, Refes Barker, Velulin, Oitzres, Ayam Hashem, and storehouses, Ubeis Hashutfim, and a house of Shutfim, Kulam Chayavim. Yechayev, even if it's owned in conjunction with somebody else, Yechayev. He makes no distinction. Very good. Makes no distinction. Says the Ramah, V'davke kishabayis hashutvim Yisraelim. That's only if it's owned by two Jews living there. Avobayis shal Yisrael v'evike chavim, poter mi mezuzah.
That's the Ramah.
And also chatzeres, oyayoreis, shemikzas evi chavim darim sham, peter mi mezuzah. So the question the Rishash asks on Rashi is, one second, do you hold like the Shulchan Aruch that in Beshutu Machayiv? So then, even if it's not Reuben Yisrael, right? And if you hold it that Potter, then even if it is Reuben Yisrael, the Potter. As so long as you're sharing it with non-Jews, then you're Potter.
Majority is pretty sharing.
Well, let's say in a city, right? The old city of Yerushalayim is a good example, right? Within that city, all the inhabitants are obligated to put up the mezuzah on the front gate.
The gate, okay.
The front gate, right? If you're, let's say, living in an apartment building, right? So, who lives in that apartment building that's required a mezuzah? So we say, if it's shared with non-Jews, you would not have an obligation according to the Ramah. According to the Shulchan Aruch, you would.
This is talking about the entrance of the whole building.
Correct. Each your own, but that's your not b'shutfis with that. Then that's your you have independently. Rabbi Yashiv writes that actually a hospital, that the reason why a hospital would not be obligated in putting a mezuzah is because it's shared, it's made for both Jews and non-Jews. That's why it wouldn't be obligated to put up a mezuzah.
There's some abundance.
Huh?
You don't live in a hospital. Just recent, but
there's other reason we'll see because of all of the offices and the. Yeah.
By the way, by just recently the Chachamim said that you don't have to kiss the mezuzah in hospital.
Because it's dangerous, germs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because sick people can go put that zone and you
kiss. Very good.
So no kiss. That mezuzah, but don't kiss.
Okay. So we've got the question. What does Rashi say? Why does Rashi say Ruban Yisrael? It means the whole question here on Mechuzah was because most of the population of Mechuzah were Jews. So Abaye said they should be obligated in mezuzah. But again, if you hold like the Ramah, that if it's a shared place of living, you're not obligated. So then who cares if it's Ruban Yisrael? That's the question. So a similar question was asked to Hagoyin Rabbi Akiva Eger. In Chuvis Chelik Aleph Simon Samach Vav, he was asked like this. Somebody rented a storage bin, a storage room from a non-Jew, and he had the keys, the Jews, but the non-Jew made a condition. He said, listen, whenever I have to get into there, you're going to have to give me the keys and I'm allowed to go in. So the question is he obligated a mezuzah on this storage place or not? Because maybe it's shared with the non-Jew. Or maybe since I rented it, it's considered mine. So Rabbi Kivager says like this. He says it always bothered him. Why did the Ramah say that shared Jew and non-Jew is not obligated, and he only based it on the Mordechah? One opinion in the Rishayin and the Shita Samordcha, he held that you don't have to. And he says, but if you look to Rajba, which is someone that we find that we give more credence to in Halacha, says that even a bayis shel shutzim shared Jew and non-Jew is obligated. So he says, why would the Ramah just be makel, be lenient on this Halacha and not be concerned about the Shita Sarajba? That bothered the Rabbi Kivager. So he says, he figured out like this. If you remember from last week's discussion, we quoted a Tosfos in Menachos Daf Mem Dalet Amid Aleph. And Tosfos over there said like this. When you rent a house from somebody else, so it means it's not your house, you're just renting it. Are you obligated to put up a mezuzah or not? Are you obligated to d'oraisa or are you obligated to rabbanan? We know the halacha is you're not obligated up until living there for 30 days. What's the reason you're waiting 30 days for? So the first teretz of Tosfos was that really a person is obligated as soon as he moves into a place, he's obligated to put up a mezuzah. Even if it's not really his house, it's not beisecha, because what's the purpose of a mezuzah? It's a chayves hadar. It's there to be protecting the people in the house, and therefore whoever lives in the house is obligated to put up a mezuzah. The only reason you have to wait 30 days is because up until 30 days it's not considered like it's your place of living. That means midairais you're obligated immediately when you rent it, but that obligation doesn't start until it's firmly yours. It's considered a dira chashuva, and that's only up until 30 days. That's teretz number one. Teretz number two, says Tosfos, is really, if it's not your house, you're not obligated at all. Midaraisa. Why? Because it says, Beisecha. It's not your house, you're just renting. Midirabana, they said, once you're living there already 30 days, it looks like it's yours, you look like an owner, put it up. It's a major nafkamina, right? Is it Dairaisa Yechayiv, but that doesn't come up until 30 days, or you're not chayiv at all, Dairaisa, because it's not Beisecha. But midraban and yichayev. Rabbi Kivager says this would really these two opinions of Tosfos would really be the key to saying is a house owned by shutfim obligated in mezuzah or not. If you say you need beis secha, you be your house, you need, well, this is not only my house, I share it with a non-Jew, and he's not obligated in mezuzah, then you wouldn't be obligated to put a mezuzah. But if you say the purpose of the mezuzah is whoever's living in the house is obligated, even though it's not your house, because it has the chayv asador we need shemira, like the first way of Tosfos, then he wouldn't be obligated. So says Rabbi Kiva Eger, that you see from Tosfos and the Rosh in Menachos, that they really prefer the second teretz of Tosfos. That really, if it's not exclusively your house, you're not obligated in mezuzah midaraisa. If the 30 days, it looks like yours, midrabbanan, you're obligated. So since it's only, according to the second answer of Tosfos, it really has to be your house, and for that reason, if you own it in partnership with a non-Jew, you're not obligated. So really, the Ramah said that Paskins like that is not only basing it on the Shittas HaMordechah, but also on Shittas HaTosfos and Shittas HaRosh. And that's the basis for this opinion. Rabbi Kivager was satisfied with that. He understood now pshat in the Ramah. Says Rabbi Kivager, I see from Rashi in Yuma Daf Yud Aleph from an Aleph that he also goes with this opinion. Because this Rashi over here, right? What does Rashi say? Rashi says that it's only if it's Ruban Shel Yisrael. Ruban Shel Yisrael makes it that that's considered, it's the Beisecha or the Visharecha of the Jews living over there. But if it was only, let's say, 50-50, or certainly if it was more non-Jews, indeed, you would not be required, because it would be considered the Iker goes after the non-Jews. That's what Rabbi Kivega says, and that's one way of understanding this Rashi. That's why he says Ruban Shal Yisrael. Let's get back to the Gemara now again. Omale Abayel Rav Safra Hani Avuli Di Mechuzah. These gates of Mechuzah, my time of the Avdu Rabban Mezuzah, why didn't he put them in Mezuzah? Omar Leis Rav Safra said Hanhu Chizuk La'akru Dekubi Hu Da'avidi. It's actually not really a doorway. What really is, it's just a structure that was built in order to uphold the structure of the binyan that was made to live in, perhaps for the shomer of the city to live on top of that. And it was made in such a way that it would be better supported if it had an arch with two posts, and that's the gate of Mechuzah. In other words, the halacha really is, if you have a doorway that's merely decorative, or merely there just as support beams, it's not obligated in a mezuzah. Sometimes we have that in an entrance of a house, or an entrance to a porch in a house. It's just support beams that are there with a beam on top and two posts on the side. It's not made as a doorway, it's just merely made to hold up the room on top of that. Or sometimes you have a beam coming across one way with posts coming down. You're not obligated in a mezuzah in that door frame, that doorway. Because it's not meant as a doorway, it's meant as support. And that's
over time that that wasn't the original tent, but if you use it as a doorway, doesn't then change its.
I mean, what does that mean you're using as a doorway? I mean, that's the way you walk in and out. That's true. Because that's the
Does that make something a doorway?
No. In order to constitute a doorway to Mechuv and Mezuzah is that this was put in as a doorway. And that's really what this was made for structure is. That's right. But this is just a way that I walk. This is a walkway that happens to have two posts on it and a beam across because the structure of the building required it.
Rashi, you're not required to have mezuzah on an arch. You put it up without a bracha, the rabbanan.
Wait a minute. If it was made for a regular doorway?
If it's an arch top. And not
straight?
Straight.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Even in your house?
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of houses that have arch like this.
Sure, we have.
Part in your
shabbat.
So there's no mezuzah and bracha?
No.
It's
Fat,
he has a lot of houses.
Yeah, sure. He said not de rice. Okay, who says this? Whose opinion is this?
Oh, I don't remember. This was I learned this years ago.
Oh, we'll have to check it out. That's correct, going to all opinions.
When
okay.
You say that something is a chiyuv, does that mean that it's a mitzvah or is it a chiyuv? If you don't do it, do you get malchus?
This is a mitzvah saseh, you wouldn't get malchus anyway.
Mitzvah says say to put a mezuzah up.
Right.
If you don't put a mezuzah up, you get malchus.
No, you don't get malchus. It's a mitzvah asay.
Okay,
you're just being mevatel an asay. You're neglecting to perform a mitzvah asay. Positive.
So in the Lishkas Bahedrin, where the Kohen Gadol has to stay, they're going to stick him there one way or the other.
Uh-huh.
But the sukkah is, if you don't put your mezuzah, if you don't sit in a sukkah, so you don't get a mitzvah. Yeah. If he doesn't sit in the Lishkas Bahedrin, they're going to throw him in there anyway.
Right.
So you're comparing sukkah.
No.
We were comparing them.
I understand, but if you don't put up a mezuzah, he's still going to be there. But he's neglecting to put up the mezuzah. He's neglecting this mitzvah.
He chooses not to sit in the sukkah, so he doesn't have to put a mezuzah up. He's not going to live there.
Remember,
the guy has a house.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to live here anyway, so I'm not going to put the mezuzah. So you
right.
Don't get the points. He
doesn't get the mitzvah.
Doesn't get the mitzvah.
Okay.
The Kohen Gadol, he says, I don't think I want to live in the Lishkas Bahedrin. The people say, well, that's too bad. You're going in there. They pick him up and they put him in there.
I understand. I'm not sure what the question is then. So
you were comparing the mezuzah.
We compared the Lishkas Bahedrin to sukkah only in terms of they're both made only for temporary uses for 7 days.
If you have
that's what it is.
Not mitzvah versus kol.
Correct.
Sorry to hold on.
Says the Gemara that's only made for a structure. Amalei va'akra dekubi gufa tibay mezuzah. Why? Is beidira l'sheme beisa asurin. That that itself should require a mezuzah. Why? Because that structure that they built actually was made as an entrance way to go into that city and to go into essentially into that little hut or house that was made for the shomer of the Beis Asurim. So it was made for a dira, Beis dira. So we say even though only one part of it is made for a Beis dira, that's still obligated in mezuzah. Like we see the Hatanya Beis HaKnesses Sheish BeBeis dira LeChazan HaKnesses Chayev Es BeMezuzah. So even though the shul in its entirety really does not require mezuzah, but if there's a special room made for the chazana of the shul, for the shamish of the shul to live in, requires a mezuzah in the entranceway. So why wasn't it mechuyev? Elam Rabbaya, so Rabbaya really rather says, the reason why the mechuzah gate was not required is mishum sakona. Because it was actually dangerous to put it up at the entranceway of mechuzah. And Rashi says, what's the sakona? That the king, the official, shouldn't say, every time these Jews walk into the city, I see they're touching the sting and kissing it, and they put up the sting on the side of the door. Kshafim asisem b'shari iri. They're doing witchcraft in the gate of my city. I'll have none of this, and it'll get the Jews in trouble. How do we see such a thing is possible? Why have to be concerned such a thing? The Tanya we learned in the Braise. Mezuzas yochid nivdekes pa'mayim b'shavua. A mezuzah of an individual has to be checked twice in 7 years. B'shavuah in 7 years. V'shel rabim, if it's a mezuzah of a group of people, for example, like on the city gate, then pa'amayim b'yovel, twice every 50 years. Why? Look what Rashi says. Pamayim b'yovel, kol davar shehu shel rabin. When you're dealing with the whole community of people, when you're dealing with all the members of the shul, you know what happens? Ein la'atriach alav harbe. Don't put too much bother on them. Why? Shem titrach. Because if you require them too much, yekol echad oimer, yasu chaveirai. Well, I should go check the mezuzah. I should put the siddurim back in. Let somebody else do. That's right. So they said, it'll never happen. You require them to do it twice in 7 years, it'll never happen. All right. Twice in a yovel, we could require them to do that. But an individual's mezuzah, you really need, what you need is twice in 7 years. Now, what's the reason that you need to check a mezuzah twice in 7 years? What are we concerned about?
If one of the letter was raised, so it'd be pasul.
So there could be one of two concerns. One concern is you better check it, you know, maybe there's an extra letter, right? You could write mezuzas with a vav or without a vav. So maybe the original sefer wrote it incorrectly. So you better check it, make sure everything is correct. Right? That's one reason you could say it. Or another reason is, like David is saying, and Rashi says it here, shema nirkava, maybe it got worn out. Or nignava, maybe it was stolen. It's in the case, but maybe it was stolen. Says the Chassam Sefer in the Tshuva, in Yeredeya Reish Pei Gimel, you know what the nafkamina between these two reasons are? If you say what you're checking is to make sure that it was written correctly, then who has to check the mezuzah? You need a sefer, you need a baki. But if all you're just making sure as well, let me see, is it worn out? Is it stolen? Who could check if it's stolen? Anybody could check if it's stolen. You really could take down your own mezuzah and check it. The only problem is you may not know how to roll it back again, and sometimes we are concerned about a certain letter, is it rubbed out enough? So it's easier to just to delegate it and pay somebody else to do it. But technically speaking, the Chassam Sefer says, indeed, you would be able to just check it by yourself based on this reasoning. So that's the reason they required a person to check it. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch writes, an appropriate time when we check it once every 3.5 years is during the month of Elul. We check Tefillin also like that. There is if you take a poll, I would say many people do not check the mezuzahs on a regular basis, maybe perhaps even twice in 7 years. The rationale to say it is that in the times of the Gemara, certainly, and even probably 100, 200 years ago, the mezuzah was exposed to the elements much greater, in a much greater way than today. It was exposed to extreme cold, extreme heat, from fumes, from steam, from heat, from smoke, and therefore there's real concern that some of it got worn out. Most of our homes are climate controlled, that they're basically one temperature throughout the year. What's suggested is that even if one wants to rely on such an opinion, the certain mezuzahs that you should make sure to check. First of all, the ones that are outdoors, like on the garage, or the ones leading down the outside door and out to the front door, or the ones that are near the kitchen, where there's a lot of cooking going on, a lot of smoke and fumes going, those mezuzahs will be concerned. But the ones in the dining room, living room, the bedrooms, they really have little concern that they get worn out just from being there in the climate control. So Abaya says, we find like this, we're still in the middle of this braisa. It has to be checked twice in 7 years or twice in 50 years. There was a story with an art of an ech. Rashi says this was some sort of official, a Roman official, that Shayabaydek Mezuzis. One second. No, the Artavan is a Shem Bishvam Hashem Umnis. He was a Jewish guy. And this Artavan was a Jewish official who was checking the mezuzahs. Shayabaydek Mezuzah Beshukha Elyon Shel Tzipori. He was actually checking the mezuzahs in the upper marketplace of Tzipori. Umatza Kastor Echon. Here Rashi says this is some official, some officer. Found him checking it. V'notel mimenu elav zuz. He fined him 1,000 zuz. Why? Yeah, you're doing some hocus pocus over here. And he fined him. Now, sakoni here, we're not talking about a sakoni of somebody's life. It was just a tremendous fine that he had to pay. But that too we see is included in the sakoni of what could happen to a Jew. And therefore they said, you don't have to check the mezuzah. You don't have to check it once in 50 years. So too Abaye says, if there's ever a concern of, if there's ever a concern of getting into trouble, you won't have to check the mezuzah. So the Gemara asks, we'll finish with this. If you're performing in a mitzvah, you don't have to worry about any sakona happening, any damage, any being hurt happening. So the Gemara says, that's not all the time. Heche de kaviya hezeka shiny. When it's common for a hezek to happen, that's different. Tichsiv, as it says in the pasuk by Shmuel, who had a mitzvah of going to anoint David HaMelech as the king. By Yomer Shmuel, eich eilech, he said to Hashem, how could I go? V'shama Shmuel, v'shama Shol. Shol's going to hear what I want to do, that I want to make a new king. V'harguni, he's going to kill me. And Vayomer Hashem, Hashem says, what are you talking about? I told you to do a mitzvah, what are you worried about? No, Vayomer Hashem, you're right. You have to be concerned when the Shkiach Hazeka and Eglas Boga Tikach Biyodicha for Martin Luzberg Lashem Bossi. Have an alibi. Say you're going in order really to bring a carbon, and then you go and anoint David HaMelech. In other words, when a Shkiach Hazeka, and Rabbi felt that we see this happen in the past, it's Shkiach for a Sakana to happen where the non-Jews could try to harm the Jewish people. The truth is nowadays also we say that if it's a mezuzah put up in a public place where it could be ruined or disgraced or vandalized by people, that's also a reason why we don't put up a mezuzah.